bad rumors. Who's our next enemy? You got what we want. Ooh, you better give it to me. If you resist, ooh, you're a terrorist. See, I'll take everything you got. My way of setting you free. They quell objectioners. They kill the messengers. They quell objectioners. They kill the messengers up against the wall. And they call this living on earth. 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 The rich get richer.
I would like to welcome you to Monday night on the Winfrey Planetary Healing Conference Call. And those of you that are listening on BBS, we are doing a simulcast with a group of people on a telephone line. And I'll explain to you why we do that in just a moment. Wayne, I have Ryan, Jamie, Karen, Carol, Francis, Anna, and Lisa. Let me unmute you. Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
Anybody else on there?
Gary, Marianne, and Vanessa.
Gary, Marianne,
Vanessa.
And Vanessa.
Did you get Jackie and Suzanne?
No.
Okay, they're on too.
Jackie?
And you can put my name down too.
Okay, thank you.
You can put my name down.
Bob.
Bob from Cleveland Heights.
Bob, is this a permanent change or just for tonight? No comment. Okay.
All callers are muted.
So, for those of you who are listening for the first time, this is a... One of the ways of describing this hour is an experiment in group consciousness. It's an experiment in linking the parts of yourself that are outside of this dimension with the parts of other people that are outside of this dimension and with the parts of other beings who are positive, who are outside of this dimension, to become a huge creative force during this period of time in order to heal ourselves, heal our planet, and project ourselves into the future, into the best possible of futures. And we're doing this as a team, but a team that has to form each time we're on the phone. It's not a team where there are membership cards and you're suddenly a member of an exclusive club. Every time we get on this line, we're joining once again. Kind of, it is an exclusive club, but it's not exclusive because we make it exclusive. It's you who make it exclusive. It's you who have to have the intent and the criteria to look at it and decide, is it really happening? Because to say something is happening, as I just did, doesn't make it real. What makes it real is moving into your own personal experience. Now, for me, and for many people, I would say one of the strongest factors that keep us from moving into an experience is doubt and perhaps fear. Fear comes from what's going on and can I trust it? And that's a reasonable thing, that everyone should evaluate something and decide that it feels safe. And doubt comes from, could this really be happening? Is it possible this is really happening here? Can we really touch each other and touch higher forces? Even though we're spread out all over the planet, and can it be real? It sounds a bit like it would be a great science fiction movie, yet the evidence is that it is actually happening. And during the course of the call, many people experience shifts and changes in their energies as they open up to this experience. Because it's not an experience that you can have in your mind. There has to be some shift in your own reality system that tells you something is going on. And many people have had those kinds of shifts. Now, if you look at each of us, or if you consider each of us is a soul that I believe, and the evidence is in, that we've had many, 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 many lifetimes. Some people say thousands of lifetimes, over millions of years. And every time we come into a body, we have no memory of anything in the past. We start over. Except that we do bring our consciousness. We bring our expansiveness. We bring certain qualities, which if somebody wanted to have that quality, they could not even perhaps create it for themselves in one lifetime. And yet once you create it, it keeps moving with you from lifetime to lifetime. So some of us have talents, musical talents, artistic talents, things which came from eons ago and that were integrated into your soul matrix as a potential egg to be cracked once you're in a body and demonstrate into the world. Some of us have executive abilities. Some of us have gardening abilities, all different things. And at one time, all of us started as pure energy. And we had an original blueprint of energy that somehow came into this realm, and the blueprint kept getting altered and altered and altered. And guess what? The original blueprint exists right now, as well as all of the alterations. We're sitting in the whole everything all at once. Since time, so they tell me, is an illusion, and that seems accurate, time does not exist except so that we can perceive our reality systems. And absolutely time exists, but objectively time does exist. The clock always keeps moving. And that there are timelines upon timelines upon timelines on top of each other and going back to where there's no time. And most of us are trapped in time. And some of us that don't have bodies are not trapped in time. And they say they can move in and out of time. And part of their role is to help those of us who are trapped in time to untrap ourselves. Because the illusion down here is so overwhelming that we need help, or else we think this is all there is. I read a really interesting explanation of karma in a book that's called Born of the Sun. And it's a fellow that believes he was channeling it, and it's about Akhenaten. So Akhenaten asked the question, what exactly is karma, Aladdin? I have heard so much of that, and I know there has been a certain feeling within me. I am caught in what is referred to as the karmic circle. Aladdin thought a moment and then proceeded. When we were in our light bodies, especially in the temples of light, we knew nothing of karma. There was the light and the dark, and humans were either fallen and knew nothing of being in the light, or they lived in oneness and total devotion to the Creator and perfect harmony with each other. Those of the light and dark were like brothers and sisters, the light ones keeping them connecting to the Creator, and the dark pushing them through to new experiences in physical existence. Each loved and respected the other as equal children originating from the central sun. As the first beings began to yield to the temptation of self-glorification and separated from the oneness to compete with the other parts of themselves, they began to fall into more and more density. They began by competing with others, laughing at what they considered others' inadequacy, comparing this to what they purported to be their great deeds. This developed into hatred of their brothers and sisters, and finally to murder in order to wipe out that part of themselves they did not wish to face. You mean they killed themselves? What do you mean by that part of themselves? We are all one. There is no one out there but you when you are one and we are one. This was not a predicament until we began to separate and see ourselves as greater than or lesser than other parts of ourselves, which we perceived as other beings. As we separated, we became unhappy with ourselves, or that part that separated from the oneness. Actually, we did not separate, we just thought we did. Our emotions keep trying to jolt us back to oneness. Every negative emotion, loneliness, depression, guilt, fear, or hate, is a signal to unite. Then why don't we just listen to the signals and unite? Because we think we are separate. When you are united, you are in harmony because you do not feel judged, hated, or greater or lesser than. When the illusion of separation originated, we began to feel inferior to those who claimed to be great. The original tempters that said, "Be like me, look at what I am, dress like me, cut your hair like me, get yourself some jewels like I have." When others joined the tempters, those Luciferian sirens, the first emotion they had was loneliness because they were not part of that group. They changed their dress, put on more jewels, changed from the universal language and telepathic communication to dialects which others could not understand. They began to compete, then fight, and finally subjugate. Their leaders began to try even harder to be different, better than, to have more territory, more slaves. Each time an angelic being would feel loneliness, they would fall into the grips of the puppet masters. As they searched for their way back to Atan, they fell into the grips of those who said, "I am the only way." What later became the temples of Baal, Amun, and many other beckoning faiths. How come they didn't follow the teachings of the temples of light? It seems the emotions would change from fear, hatred, and loneliness to love, peace, and harmony. That alone should be attractive enough to turn the soul towards light. You have never been caught in the karmic web. When you feel you are separate from a part of yourself, then you blame that part of you which you feel is separate for your unhappiness and misery. This is what happened. When someone felt out of it, because of the way they dressed. They ridiculed others for the way they dressed. When they felt lonely, they blamed others for not paying enough attention to them. The karmic wheel was not invented. It evolved. How? When one sees a part of themselves, they invite attack from that part. When I attack a blister, then the blister festers and attacks the body. When I feel I am ugly, then I appear that way to others. We always invite into our experience the mirror of what we fear, attack, or hate. This is because it is another part of us, because it is a part of ourselves that gives us the emotion to bring us back to oneness with that part. It always says to us, come back to me, come back to me. We are one. Then why don't we listen to it and unite with ourselves? It goes back to the illusion of separation. When we see that part as separate, we blame it for our negative emotions. In other words, it is their fault, not ours. That keeps the illusion of separation intact and separates us even further. That is why the original embryonic thought of rivalry, which started the fall of man, turned from a spark of loneliness, minute guilt, trivial disagreements, into arguments, disputes, murder, and warfare. What had been infinitely ours, everlasting life, in all aspects of self, began to push us into greater density, causing aging and death to the physical body. The persistence of such decadence would have eventually led to the destruction of Earth and the annihilation of mankind. This is when the councils of light met on the inner planes and set up what is known as the karmic board. This allowed those who had lost their physical existence to return to Earth to begin the process back to oneness. Karma mirrors our separation, balances our conflicting action, and calls us back to unity. Following the completion of each lifetime, we would meet with this karmic board, decide what lessons we needed on Earth to rectify the distortions experienced in the prior lifetime, decide the Earth family we wish to be born into, and be given another body. To break the repetitive cycles of prior lifetimes, a veil was placed on our memory, so we would begin the process anew. The constant influx of new veiled entities reversed not only the pattern for the individual soul, but also the recurring patterns for all fallen humans. There will be a day just prior to the Golden Age when all karma will be erased, and the wisdom of all lives will come together to carry us back to source. Well, I thought that was a very, very good explanation of how we created our circumstances and how that through loneliness, through our own needs, we subjugated ourselves into slavery. And so now we live in a world where we see all that, and those of us in this group that have been checking in regularly, I believe, have had the opportunity to touch in to that oneness and that see through, maybe not see through the veil, but see ourselves in each other and the way we reach to each other and see every time you reach to another and see what's good and you support that and you love that and you assist that person into reaching it for themselves, you have expanded your own self, because in the larger spectrum, that person is another expression of you. And this is why in the law of one, Jesus, probably the most simple requirement of Christianity is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we have created a community on the phone line of neighbors, small group of neighbors all over the country. And that over a period of time, those that keep coming back have caught this energy and felt it and expressed it to each other in that manner of loving, seeing ourselves in each other. And we've also had this rare and unusual opportunity in this plane participate in this great experiment of not only communing with each other, but communing with those sources, those group souls, those great group souls that expand through the universe and want to touch people down here. But it's hard for them to get through. And even here on this line, I know as far out as it is, when we feel that energy, it's hard to say for sure, is that them? I can't see them. Where are they? Is it possible that we can all be all over the United States right at this moment at all our different physical locations, and that an energy can descend into our space from outside of time and touch us and move into our time line for a brief moment and join with our communing of energies? Can we experience that? Many of us had many times. Many of people on the line have had amazing phenomena as a result of being on this line. There's one fellow that was in Sedona that was reading my book, and I sent him an email regarding something in the book, and he was sleeping, and in the middle of the night, his computer turned on, or his printer turned on, and started printing my email, which never happened to him in the history of him ever having a printer. And he took it as an explanation that he was being connected with by the Ra group. There's someone in Oregon who was on the line, and when he left the line, later on that evening, his girlfriend started channeling. And the voice speaking to him said they were the Council of Elohim, the same Elohim that we've talked to on this line, has channeled and talked to us through Daphne and Terry. And he played a little bit of it for me. I'm never quick to say that that really happened. Because I know that sometimes people want it to happen. Some people have imaginations, and there's even been times when there was a negative entity that came through somebody and tried to, you know, talk to people on this line. So I consider everything, and I evaluate it, And so he played me a little bit of the channeling, and it sounded like them. It sounded, they had their attitude to it, is the best way to describe it. And then I did do a channeling, and I asked, and they said, yes, they were talking through that woman to that person. And this has been fairly consistent. People have had some kind of experience with the Elohim group or the Ra group, giving them communications or what they think is those groups. And I would say that the most important aspect of this is not to go around saying, oh my God, the Ra group is talking to me or the Elohim group is talking to me, but to say, can I learn from that? Have they given me something that is can help me grow? Because if that's not the case, then it might not be them. They're pretty sharp. And if they're going to talk to somebody, they don't want to be exalted. They don't want to be put in an overwhelmingly high position. They want to help you. And they probably pick people that are open to be helped. They also pick people whose space is in their space. And part of being on this call is because we create this group energy, is that we create a circumstance where our group space is visible to their space. As far as I can tell, they can't really see and communicate to people that are highly contracted. And most people in this realm are highly contracted. And most people would be scared about even the idea of this kind of communication. So it helps to hear that it's possible. And when we come into this group, we expand. And we expand into other realms, and they can perceive that expansion. And then each of us gets a chance to be looked upon individually if we so choose. And we can remember that expanded space, and we can invoke it when we're not in this group. It becomes a reference point on how to hold a higher energy in the matrix than we normally do. And in traditional terms, I believe this kind of thing is what was meant in the olden days by initiation, where somebody would hold a higher space, create a reference point, someone else would experience that higher space, and then they would keep going back till they could hold it on their own, till it became theirs. Because in this realm, no matter how much you talk about something, until you can be an example of it, it's only in your mind. It's not changing the universe. It's not changing space. It's just a thought in your mind. But once you experience it, then you know what it is. And part of your being always wants to go back to it. Well, look and seek experiences, even if it takes years and years, to rekindle that experience of that expansion. And that is the classical word for initiation. And of course, the initiation occurs when you decide, hey, that's real, and I want it. Then it becomes a two-way experience. I don't know if Daphne is on the line. Daphne, are you on the line? Are you muted? Okay. She was threatening to be here, but I guess she's not here. I thought I would take the space. I don't officially channel, although I become familiar with the energies of these group souls. And I've learned that when I do these calls, and I learned this through trial and error, through asking questions. Did that really happen? How does this work? And they would say it. And I got to learn that they were actually paying attention to me. And if I called on them, they would come into the space. And so I think it's neat, since I'm not a channel, just I'm one of you guys, and if I can bring them into my space, and I can bring them into your space with your own free will openness, then you can do the same thing. I'm just saying, here's how it works, and you can be fairly certain that they're paying attention to you right now, or you can make the hypothesis that they're paying attention to you, and that if you feel an energy in your space, that's them paying attention. Take that hypothesis and realize that that attention is intelligent. It's not just energy. It's got an intelligence attached to it. And that you may not be able to hear the words of that intelligence, but you can communicate to that intelligence, and it will do something back to you, so there's a reciprocation so that you can validate that it's real. Did someone just come on the line? Was that Daphne on the line, by any chance? Let me see if she's on the line, because just a second.
All callers are unmuted.
Daphne, are you on the line? No comment. Okay.
All callers are muted.
So, we've talked about two major group souls that are positive. And, of course, there's a complexity that's beyond the beginnings of my understanding on how things are organized beyond this veil. We know that there's archangels, there's angels, they have different functions than group souls. We've actually had Archangel Michael speak to us a couple weeks ago. We've had Archangel Gabriel speak to us. And these are all energy forms that have volitional consciousnesses that can make decisions that have different functions that have developed over millions and millions and millions of years. And at the top of the pyramid, there's these two group souls, and I don't know if the top of the pyramid is the best analysis, because they actually seem to flow in different spaces of the universe. And I can only...
Hello.
Oh, hi, Daphne. Good. Okay.
Hi. The line dropped out. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sit still, because it'll drop out if you move. So, when I describe how these group souls are, it comes from my experience of their energy and my asking questions in channelings. So, the Ra group, which is composed of graduates of this realm, a huge conglomerate of billions of individual souls, flows through this realm at a very high vibration, a very high timeline. They seem to flow in and out and around things, and that maybe we are actually part of the energy flow of the Ra group. They say that. They say they're us, and that they're actually inside of us. So I would guess that if you are experiencing right now a feeling of flow inside your body, a feeling of chakras opening up, a feeling of flow through the bottom of your feet from the earth, that might be the Ra group communicating with you. And we can inwardly say, Hi, guys. It's nice to have you in my space. And you might feel suddenly the jolt in that energy, an increase in it for a moment. Now the Elohim group, to the best of my questions and asking them to describe themselves, are outside of this space. They're outside of this realm. In fact, they're outside of all realms. And they exist as an energy on the edge of nothingness at the beginning of creation. And hold that energy of creation. But yet, there's all these matrices that flow from nothingness to us. There's all these energies that are formatted by these complicated sacred geometries, and one aspect of looking at a human is a conglomerate of matrices, very complicated, that starts out with our original template, and then all these circling of additions that have come through all our lifetimes into the present. And that we keep coming back, untangling them, so we can move back to our original template. So the Elohim is celestial. They can beam into this space from outside of it. Now, my take experientially is that the Elohim seems to be far off coming into my space, and the Ra group seems to be in my space, is me. And if we're just quiet a moment, what's happening is, I didn't call in the light, but I did it kind of in the silence where we're communing our energies together. And then we're tying our energies in with the Ra group and the Elohim group. We've invited them into our space. Now, of course, this is free will, so you don't have to do that. And they won't violate your free will. But in oneness, we are them and they are us. And it's through making that connection that we speed up our own evolution. Because this energy that you're feeling through you actually changes your DNA. And changes the strings of your DNA. And those of you that have studied the shift of the ages, this transformation that we're going through right now, this division of souls, part of the way, at least as I understand it, that this 51% opening of the heart chakra, the 51% dedication to service, which qualifies you for the higher path, reflects in the physical body as a change in the DNA. And there's an integration between the DNA and all the vortexes, matrices that come in from the center of the universe, through all the star systems, through all the planets, through our bodies. And the DNA is the mirror of all that. That's why when you're born, the moment you're born, all those vortices reflect the planetary positions, sometimes called astrology. And your DNA then becomes aside from other influences, it's not the only one, your DNA becomes the perfect reflection, the perfect snapshot of all the astrological combinations at the time you're born. Plus, the DNA of your parents, the DNA of your past life. It's all a hugely complex mix and match. To create the container, which we call our body, and our emotions, and our physical manifestation, so that we can have another lifetime to attempt to further perfect our openness to these higher dimensions and grow into a higher matrix and evolve and our strands of DNA, which is like the receptors for this energy. So right now, we've created a great group energy, and we 4252, we have about 8 minutes, and if Daphne's on the line, are you on the line, Daphne? Hello, Daphne? Okay, I'll keep talking. Whether there's channeling or not, the energy is here. And it's good to know that we don't need channeling to experience the energy. It's good to know that we're doing this every night of the week. And what's the advantage of coming on often is that all of us are working to expand our DNA and expand our energetic field and our position in the matrices. And every time you experience this energy, you are changing your positioning. You're growing in it. And of course, right now, that growth is possible to be very fast because we're at the end of the 75,000 year cycle and there is this shifting that's going on. The shift of the ages, so-called, where the energy fields, the in-streaming energies from the center of our cosmos, the galactic center, are the strongest they've been for 75,000 years. And so, this is a good time to upgrade your DNA, to create the circumstances for the best possible future lifetimes. Because, the way I understand it, that this DNA upgrade, these opening strings, are what creates your potential futures, and they're directly connected with the consciousness that you hold. It's a human computer that reflects the divine computer that's in the matrix. So, let's take a moment and just drink that energy in. You can feel that energy in your body, around your body. You can feel expanded. You can feel that energy in your room. You can feel it with the person next to you. Now we're dealing with an energy of creation. This is an energy prior to the physical realm. So, this energy is the tool that can change the physical realm. Because things in the physical realm start from higher levels. And we are creators. We create through our intention. And now we have a group energy, and we have these group souls joining with our group energy. And we'll call in the light. Of course, we've been doing that, but I'll just say the words and do it formally. And we'll just send this energy around our planet. And then we'll leave the people at VBS, and we thank you for listening, and we'll go through the individual people on the line who can put their own, direct this energy for the highest good of all concerned to their own requests. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our planetary systems, through our bodies, and into the crystalline core of the Earth. And right now, we join our energies together. Those of us who free willingly choose to do so. We join those energies that are on the other side of the veil. And we create a group energy amongst us. And we invite those group souls to join with our energies. And we send this energy right now to the center of the Earth once again, through the systems of the Earth, through the plates of the Earth. We send gratitude to our planet. For letting us be part of her energetic field for so many years, for so many lifetimes. Send these energies to the Middle East for peace. For those people that can receive them, that can be open to them. We can visualize this group energy that we're creating coming down in the countries of Syria, Israel, Jordan, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Egypt, send these energies to Washington, D.C. for the principle of peace, that those who are decision makers might feel this energy and touch into the law of one and act with some compassion. And we've come to the end of our time on VBS. We'll just take one shot at sending this energy around our planet and ask for any interventions from the other side against any weapons of mass destruction, any nuclear weapons, anything that can be prevented from going off, that they might feel enough request energy from our planet to cause those things not to happen. On that note, I'm going to say goodnight to everyone on BBS. Thank you for being here. My name is Wynne Frey. I'm the author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And you can learn more about my book at www.caseysback.com. We have a number of conference calls going on all through the week. And if you go to the website higher-vision.org, you will see the schedule. And right now, I'm going to say goodnight and open up. Let's see here. Now, theoretically, I don't know if I'm talking or not. Let me see something.